Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. For those children who have special needs, it may be hard to face middle school. Thankfully, there's a transition guide that will help parents and guardians as they assist their children with special needs when they take their first step into middle school. Friendly to use, highly informative, Introducing Middle School, a Transition Guide for Parents of Children with Special Needs, is the definitive guide for parents with special needs students to aid in the transition from elementary to middle school life. Getting tips on great tips on fitting in socially, gaining better organizational skills, adjusting to a demanding workload, comforting parents and kids alike with an accessible text and a positive tone. The author of Introducing Middle School, a Transition Guide for Parents of Children with Special Needs, is Virginia Stevens. She's back with us on This Week in America. She's worked with autistic children in Loudoun County Public Schools, a middle school in Virginia. She has a master's degree in special education K through 12 from West Virginia University. Now retired, Mrs. Stevens taught children in Virginia and West Virginia with special needs in the fields of specific learning disabilities, emotional disabilities, and autism for 31 years, a special interest in the fields of autism spectrum disorders, a member of the Council for Exceptional Children, and Virginia Stevens back with us on This Week in America. Virginia, an important program. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So much more to talk about. And the other shows that we've done with Virginia, you'll find by going to iTunes, our iTunes channel, YouTube, you'll find it there as well. And you can link on directly to our past shows with Virginia by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and get some really helpful information that's really made an impact, a difference in people's lives. And we're going to start today talking about, in the book, one of the chapters you devote to being your child's advocate. Talk about the importance of doing that and what parents can do to be an effective advocate.
I always try to explain to my parents that they are never helpless. Special ed teachers do write the IEPs and everything, and they get information from all the teachers that the student sees. But there is something, parents really know their children. And I think after I talked to some of my parents about this, I said, if you are still concerned, and really, if I could have done this in some cases in fifth grade, it would have been even better. But I did tell my parents at the time. I said, you can set up appointments with the guidance counselor. That first, or you sometimes, now in my school system, we had the assistant principal who actually worked with the special ed department of Loudoun County School, and you can make an appointment to talk to that assistant principal. Basically, I always had parents either put it on a CD or, a DVD rather, and or if they, wanted to write it out, it's however they're comfortable with, but I think sometimes it doesn't hurt for parent to come in, talk about what the background is, what is your child's disability, if it's learning disabilities or autism, whatever. And I often said they need to tell about what are your children's weaknesses? Are you concerned about their reading? Or, that would be a learning disabled. It could be writing. It could be social skills. And that also goes with autism and also, in some cases, emotional disability. Or in that case, it is social, emotional things. And tell what their weaknesses are and your concerns about it. You might say, it never hurts for a parent to tell you, this is how my child learns best. Do they need a lot of praise? I think everybody does,
yes.
Probably. But,
yes.
Some need it more encouragement than others. Positive rewards and things. Also, I always recommend if they already had an IEP coming from elementary school, bring that with you. Talk about the parts of it. If you're concerned that the accommodations are going to be, done, or, what the goals are, that you've talked it over with somebody. And, just what you know, what are your expectations and, you know, what approach works. I mean, some kids, if you just call on them and they haven't had their hand up or something, they'll freeze. Other kids, you kind of want to answer. I bet it's two extremes. I bet that extreme and then the other one where they wanted to answer everything and, you know, not give other kids
yes.
a chance to. And I had to work with that and show one kid one time I sat in his class and I said, I'm going to mark how many times you raise your hand. Oh, yeah, you raise your hand, but you blurt out the answer. And I'm going to show you how many times you do it. And he was genuinely surprised. And I said, you are stealing other students' opportunities to show a teacher what they know. So, you know, we're going to work on that. And list their strengths. And, you know, sometimes, you know, listen to challenges. It could be, you know, they have real trouble copying things down from the board. Anyway, in most accommodations today, if we have children that have, you know, have the trouble looking at the board and then copying it down for notes as they get older, they get hard copies of notes. And usually what that accommodation says, after a student attempt, they will be provided with hard copies of notes. And this also means after student attempt, they'll be given the study guide. That, you know, they don't have to sit there and have long notes and things.
No, exactly.
These days. I'm trying to think what else. Just, you know, again, you know, always give your phone number, how to reach you. Most parents are given these papers to fill out. Some, you know, I had some that, you know, would forget to do it. And I would just really have to, you know, go after them to get these phone numbers because it's very important that say they've missed school. You know, these are things, you know, when he comes back or she, they will be having a test on this. And you need to have all the phone numbers and everything. I can't begin to tell you how communication within the parent, the school system, the case manager is very important. And after you have these things going, I found most of my parents, if they were worried about things, they calmed down.
Great information, which is in the book that Virginia has written, Introducing Middle School Transition Guide for Parents of Children with Special Needs. Virginia Stevens is the author. You'll find the book available at the usual places. I go specifically to bookworld.com in their bookstore. Amazon, of course, and you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The other programs we've done, two that we've done with Virginia, you'll find at our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can go to video and audio and pull those programs up. You mentioned something that's interesting when you mentioned fifth grade. When is the time that parents should really start focusing on this transition to middle school? And I'm assuming
grade.
Not just at, yeah, okay, grade. That's interesting because some parents may think, okay, it's a couple of weeks before school. I really need to focus on this. And I'm getting the impression at that point it's probably too late to do a thorough job.
Really, it's never too late, but when they really need is fifth grade.
Okay.
It's because we usually send over, sometimes it's been me in years past, they sent me over to be a part of representing whatever middle school I was at, to be there with the fifth grade teacher. And sometimes I wrote the IEP for that upcoming rising sixth grader, or I shared it with the case manager at the time for that fifth grade student. And I've done both. And definitely fifth grade, and you want to do it in that summer. And it's, you know, or if you have during the school year, you have questions and you want to know things. I have always told parents, if you're worried, go see what a classroom looks like. I mean, you're just going to sit there. You have to get permission from everybody. You just can't show up. You have to make an arrangement. I always say, always go through the chain of command. You always start with the guidance counselor. That is just the way it is. You don't go from the principal and go down.
Okay.
It's the office of guidance counselor and find out which assistant principal or whoever the person is in the school that is, you know, in charge of special education for that building. And I know every state's different, but there's some things that are the same. And I even have a part in here. I made even a little classroom observation checklist, you know, type of class. You know, some kids are in general classes, and some are in team taught. That's where you have the general ed teacher and somebody like me co-teaching. And then I've also taught self-contained. That's where you may have a couple of students. And the only reason they're there is not a lack of intelligence. It's just maybe their reading levels are three grades lower, or they just can't keep up at the speed. In most general classes and even team taught, you're learning a new concept every time you have the class. And so in the self-contained, it has to be the same curriculum. You have to be certified like I was to teach the subjects I taught, which over the years, mainly with life science at 7th grade biology, and I taught 6th and 7th grade history. One goes from explorers to including the Civil War. 7th grade starts with Reconstruction to modern times. But you do have to be certified in it. You just can't suddenly start teaching it. You have to have background. But basically find out how big the class is, what the teacher's style of teaching is, and are they going to take a lot of notes? Does that blend? So will the kid also get hard copies of notes and things? Does the teacher do hands-on? Most teachers these days do kinesthetic. That means a little bit of everything, hands-on, and they have, like, different parts of the room that are set up for, you know, a learning channel. And, you know, how fast does the class go? Is it going really, really fast? As a teacher of class control, they better.
Ideally, yes, yes, that helps.
Yes or no, we got a problem. and, you know, do you have a class syllabus? This is what the teacher, every year, like when I, you know, there was online things for me, I always talked about at a class syllabus, this is what goes on in my class. This is also, you know, with the seventh grade program, you know, I do this with them, but it's at the self-contained level. So you need to know what the expectations are. But I have had, because I taught elementary for 14 and then, you know, then middle school the rest of my life in Loudoun. I used to have parents come in. I had one parent could make up her mind if her child belonged in a self-contained class. She had problems with reading and everything else. And so, you know, we invited the mother to come to my classroom. My goodness, she stayed for 3 weeks. No, like a month. That was fun. I said, you can help everybody but so-and-so. And you know what the beautiful part about that was? He stayed in my class. He eventually got out. But his mother went back to school and became a special ed teacher.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
And so, you know, but they do have, every parent has a right. I don't know for 3 weeks, but I was somebody, you know, I knew who I was. So I was very, didn't bother me. I was acceptable because I felt the child really needed. Every time a student is several years behind, he had a learning disability, several years behind in reading, that is so crucial of where their placement needs to be and what you can get also. Other special classes beside my classroom that they would go to a reading teacher or somebody that could help them. But I've had other parents want to sit in classes, or if something was going on, the student was upset about something. You know, we worked it out between the guidance counselor. We went as far as the assistant principal. We worked it out that they could sit in the classroom. So basically, that has helped some parents get over the anxiety, because if the parents aren't anxious, then the student calms down.
Okay.
And then
yes.
I know that kids that, you know, never had any problems at all, I said, okay, give me my schedule. I used to highlight, well, this is your A days, put it in green, you know, B days in yellow, and, you know, colored on a map with a colored pencil. And I said, okay, see you later. But then I had other kids that, you know, had more problems. And the biggest thing is that helps kids go into middle school from 5th grade to 6th grade is at home. Start giving them more responsibility. Some kids already come from big families and have their jobs and chores to do, but also having kids have these, you know, responsibilities, you know, going to the grocery store with you, helping organize things, even just as scheduled, it's every day you're going to make your bed, you're going to do this or that, or in my case, my children helped me. We had two cats and a dog, a Dalmatian, and they had their jobs that they did every day, and they're responsible. And then after you find out more about the school, you know, also joining clubs and things. You know, some kids belong to Boy and Girl Scouts and other organizations, even if it's a church organization, a club they belong to, because that helps you, you know, learn how to get along with other people, that you're just not going straight into a middle school and, you know, having to do all these things that you do in middle school without some experiences to come with you.
It's great information like that that Virginia is giving us in the program that you will find in her book, Introducing Middle School, Transition Guide for Parents of Children with Special Needs. Virginia Stevens, our guest, she's the author of the book. Our other programs that we've done with Virginia, you'll find at our website with video, audio. Just click on and look down for Virginia Stevens and Introducing Middle School to get to those. A couple of minutes left in the program, and you mentioned the checklist. Things like that are in the book. It's very simple to read. It's laid out chapters, starting with easing student fears about middle school. As children are going back to school, that making that transition into middle school, what are some of the signs that parents should be watching for, maybe those first couple of weeks to school of school, to make sure they're doing okay and that transition is working, or maybe there needs to be an intervention at that point? What should parents be looking for early on in the school year?
What communication the student brings home. Kids will tell their parents that they're worried about something. I've never known in all the years I've taught that, you know, that's how I find out, because the parents, you know, would call me up and say, Jenny, something's not working.
Yeah, yes.
Can you help with this? Now, I'll tell you something else that all students get. It's sent home to the parents. It is what things they will need for seventh grade. And I have a part in here. I just wanted to mention this quickly because this helps with the organization. It talks about setting up your binder. Now some school systems will ask for a notebook for every class. Well, this drives some kids crazy because they end up bringing the science notebook to the, you know, history class.
Oh, yes.
You know, they forget things. I usually recommended that kids have these big zip binders, and from years of having my parents come to school in August before the kids came, and I'd have to bring all the stuff in, and I said, we'll organize it. And, you know, got things in order. It goes from anything. They're all given agendas when you're in middle school to write down what your assignment is that goes in every class. And parents need to make sure they're doing it. If you look at a blank agenda, after a couple of weeks, well, you've got something going on. Sometimes teachers write notes in the agenda, oh, so-and-so isn't bringing pencils to class, or we need this. But generally, just really fast here, you know, you have a book bag. Everybody has a book bag. And then you have a binder, and you have an agenda. I used to have the kids have one take-home folder. This is where you put your homework in on one side of it. This is what you got to do. Other side's finished. Then, you know, folders within that binder for every class. And then having a zip bag for pencils and pens, and they tell what they have to have for each class. But I found that what my parents would do, they go out and buy, this is after I got to know me, they stopped it. But, you know, the person from fifth grade, you know, they would buy like 8 notebooks. And then about the second week or third, they call me, Virginia, this isn't working. Yeah, I know. Sorry, we need to do it all over again. I know you spent all this stuff. I said, you might need it someday. I mean, you have 6 more years of school. Don't worry about it. But this is when we get the binders and put the folders in. And now what's really great about pocket folders, they make plastic ones that don't tear apart. And in the end, I'd end up, I even bought some because some of my kids either couldn't afford it or, you know, just wasn't a priority, that I had plastic folders and we'd mark with a marker what the subject was, because they don't come out. And most of my kids that I observed that were in my, you know, my teen talk classes or even my own self-contained, they did much better with a binder. They went nuts if they had to have, especially if they were out in inclusion. They went crazy with all these different notebooks. So I always say the binder.
And you've got a whole chapter.
Setting up the binder's good. And one more thing, real fast. Go get, either you're going to have a key and a lock for their lockers. And that's okay. That's fine. But also, if they want to practice doing a combination locker, just go buy one somewhere, Walmart, wherever, and have one to practice with. That is the biggest thing. That's where they're scared, too. Probably more scared than being thrown in a locker is being able to open their lockers.
And you've got
they have an idea of how it works. And that's the very last little thing I have is combination lock practice activity. And I tell them how to do it.
Yeah, and that's so important. It's something you may take for granted. And you're saying that really that's a source of great anxiety for many of the kids.
What is it? They've never had one before. I can't tell you. Over the years, how many lockers I had to unlock.
Oh, I can
imagine.
And I
thought, oh, my gosh, can I do it? You know, I said, please, well, God, I'm just kidding. To get to class, I better be able to do it.
Well, yeah, and you feel that pressure, and I don't like combination locks. I always feel like, what if this is not going to work? And I can imagine, you know, a child when they're, you know, the clock is ticking mentally, and they have to get this taken care of.
They're crying.
Yes.
So
stressful.
Yeah,
and you address that in the book. The book is really well laid out. Setting up your binder, when Virginia was talking about that a few seconds ago, you've got a whole chapter on doing that.
Yeah.
It is laid out perfectly. The book is available wherever books are sold. Bookwhirl.com in their bookstore has it, for example. The book is Introducing Middle School Transition Guide for Parents of Children with Special Needs. Virginia Stevens has been our guest on the program. She is the author of the book. The past programs with her you'll find at our website, thisweekinamerica.us, in the audio and video. We're on YouTube, iTunes, all of those places with the programs, Facebook as well. Virginia, it has been a pleasure having you back on the program. A lot of great information, important information. Thank you for being with us once again on the show.
Thank you for interviewing me. Thank you so much.
It is always a pleasure. Virginia Stevens, the book is Introducing Middle School Transition Guide for Parents of Children with Special Needs. Information, of course, available online at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.